ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Henrik here with Red Ice TV. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a return guest today, Hagen Grell, who is back on the show to discuss some of the censorship issues that he has been struggling with in Germany. It's always interesting to peer into the situation in Germany. I mentioned it last time, I mentioned it again. There is a language barrier issue, and we get sporadic news coming out from Germany in terms of what's going on. I think it's more open, maybe even today, than when we last spoke. A lot more websites that are focusing on the issues that Germany faces right now, not only with immigration and refugees, but also the censorship, Hagen. That's really where we're going to begin talking about that, because you've been hit hard about this. You've had a channel, for those who don't know, for, I believe, a few years now, tackling with similar topics that we do. And recently, you've been in the hot seat, so to speak, when it comes to YouTube and censorship. So tell us what's been going on.
Yeah, Henrik, thanks for having me again. Censorship is a catastrophe in Germany right now, because the government is cracking down on free speech as we speak. As I was sending you, there are a lot of issues, not for my own channel, but for the whole patriotic scene, for people who are trying to shed light on topics like immigration, but also like topics like the constant breaking of German law, the Grundgesetz, Constitution of Germany, so to speak, which is done by Ms. Merkel by getting in so many immigrants, because it's not permitted by law. So they're cracking down on channels, striking them down. A lot of patriotic channels are not live anymore. Even larger channels with 30,000 people, which is quite large for just the German speaking audience. And this is still going strong, and I'm supposing that it is will be stronger even in 2018.
So what happened specifically? Let's talk about the case. You had, I think, two strikes recently on your channel. We can show that the image that you sent to me as well. You said you finally managed to get them off. What was this about specifically? Tell us about this.
Yeah, it was funny because, if you have new videos, I could see that new videos might be something that I have to look out for, that I get strikes for, but those were older videos, videos half a year old or a whole year old from 2016, when it happened in 2017, was a year old, and both were dealing with Antifa. One was something where I spoke about Moldylocks when this was a current topic, where she was in the mainstream and making herself to be the victim when she was trying to gather Nazi scalps, as she wrote on her Facebook before. And the other one was about the general topic of the how we called it the leftist death cult. Which is the ethno-masochistic death cult, where they hate their own people. We were talking about that also regarding Antifa, and both of those videos were struck down half a year or a year later. So basically, this got me very worried because, of course, I couldn't upload videos, but also all videos on my channel, by this logic, it become not an asset, but something that I have to worry about in the future. So this triggered also some other channels who set all of their older videos to private, not to get strike for them. So they self-censored, basically.
And so this has become a huge issue, not only, of course, in Germany, but, you know, for the whole YouTube world, really. Even people that are not, you know, directly involved in the kind of topics that we talk about have, you know, they've suffered from the apocalypse, they've suffered from having algorithms, you know, shutting down their channel. So what do you, I don't know how long you've been on YouTube, it's a few years, right? What do you feel about the platform? Is it like, are you thinking about getting off of it? Because we are certainly looking at other, places to go, or to at least have a secondary, you know, channel somewhere else, because it's, we don't know, maybe tomorrow will just be shut down for some reason that we're not even privy to know, right?
Absolutely true. And I'm working on a platform, actually investing a lot of money in it to get it programmed. And we have some interesting algorithms to balance out. If you're on multiple platforms, you can still stream it to one platform, something like that. Because, as you said, I've been on YouTube since 2011, and I've always thought of you. Actually, I love YouTube for what it was. It was basically a meritocracy where you could put out your ideas, your content, made it great, got people in who were interested and loved your content, and it worked. And basically, right now, they're rolling it all back, making it to be another TV network, basically. Not at this stage right now, but they're seeming to go that way. And just, there was a meme which I saw, which was YouTube 2007 by creators, YouTube 2017 by creators. So this is how I feel about it. And I really love the platform, but I'm looking for other places to save my content. And at the moment, I'm using BitChute because this automatically loads your videos and copies them. This is like a little backup, but still you have to find something very, very reliable.
You know, this is actually a good time to talk about one of the platforms I've been looking at, which is Steemit has a competitor to YouTube called DTube, where you actually also can, you know, the big issue with monetization has been over the ads specifically, and I believe like we have never done the ad thing, so thankfully we didn't become dependent on that, but a while back, basically every video we uploaded, that would by de facto default said, this is not appropriate for, you know, advertisement, so we've shut it off for you. But DTube actually has another way about it. They've tied in the cryptocurrency Steem into it, so people can actually pay creators through the service by liking it and stuff like that. There's something similar with something called the Brave browser, where people can pay BAT tokens, basic attention tokens. These are interesting options. We'll just have to see where they end up when it comes to the censorship and stuff like that. But the biggest issue, Hagen, is obviously that we want to be where the audience is. We want to reach people that don't, you know, necessarily know about our content and want to go to it. Those people, to a certain extent, it's fine, right? I mean, they know, they will seek our content out. They will even personally, if our channel was shut down, they would contact us and say, hey, where are you? Or where can I watch your stuff? And we have sites that they can go to and stuff. But we want the related videos to show up on certain topics, so the people who are outside of our political sphere and ideological sphere get exposed to content which differs from theirs, right? That's the beautiful thing with the internet. And that ability is now shut down, and all these different sectors are being isolated in their own echo chambers, which I'm up for debate. I'm up for different viewpoints and stuff like that. And it's true for both right and left, I would say. But what do you make of that? What's the future here of it's just isolation, it feels like, right?
Yeah, this is what they're aiming for. So I'd say we as creators altogether or for ourselves have to be or have to think more like entrepreneurs, I'd say, because we have to be on many platforms. We have to spread our content. We have to be everywhere to get to the audience which are receptive to our content. And there are a lot of people who are looking for stuff like that. Some people still send mails to me, although I have, like, I'm working on it like two years very, very strongly, which is my where I started to put content out regularly, daily, and people are still writing, oh, I found your content, it's so great, you've given me new ways to think about stuff, new information. So there are still so many people who might be receptive to the content, and they're trying to keep them separated from us so they can see, those people can see what might be better content for them.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk a bit about the lawsuit. I mean, it's all kind of tied in here in terms of, you know, there's a lawsuit. There was other, you know, specific cases that we'll talk about. But what was the deal with the lawsuit?
Yeah, the lawsuit is just an example how crazy and how lunatic the German judicial system or some people in it act to preserve the status quo. In my example, it was a lawsuit where a woman contacted their lawyers to basically get me to take a video down and to pay a fine because I read an article online, which was already published for everyone to see, and claiming that I was publishing her name, making her public. Although she was in the article, like mentioned six, seven, eight times with her own words, she was confirmed that this article was okay for her, but my video wasn't. So basically, she tried to shut me down talking about her. And I wasn't even talking about her. It was a video about the Islamization of Germany. I said Islamization is .. happening, so not happening, it's happening. And I was just reading from the article, and just at the last part of the paragraph, there was her name. So I wasn't really talking about her, and nobody commented about her, so it wasn't about her. But she tried to use the judicial system as a weapon to take a video down and to harm me in some financial way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what they do, you know. Very interesting. So what, this was January 19th, I think you received the letter. Were you served, or did it just come in the mail to you?
Oh, they were fair enough, because I think a lot of lawyers are at least professional in Germany, so they send it to me via email and via mail. So I got it in time, and I just contacted my lawyer, and he wrote a letter back. I didn't hear from them. It might be solved, but I just paid a couple of hundred euros to get it solved. So basically, it harmed me a little bit. And they succeeded in that way, but I think their case was so weak that they didn't try to go further.
Well, it's indicative of what might come as well. If this is, you know, how things are going to turn in the future, that as soon as you address, yeah, even public figures indirectly, you can get sued. You can get, you know, I think it was, I forget the specific case, but someone was charged with bullying. They were talking about a specific, I think, a university professor who had, you know, advocated for, I believe, the replacement of white people or something like that. And people were doing videos about it, you know, and then basically they were coming after the creators of the video and saying, "You're bullying this person, so we're taking down the video." Yeah.
I think he said, "All I want for Christmas is white genocide."
Yeah, was it that guy? Yeah, maybe there was that one.
Yes, I think so. And I have another lawsuit for you in Germany, just for an example. There are a ton of those. But another one, a prominent guy who was talking about the Islamization of Germany and Islam in general, he was just retweeting a picture or showing a picture of a Muslim imam with Adolf Hitler. And in the background, there was a swastika. And he was just using it to show that, to show people, okay, this happened, historic footage. And he was sued for showing the swastika. He won in the second instance, but still, you had to go two steps and, of course, pay a lawyer and have that all over the press. So basically, that's how they operate.
It's almost come to a point where you can't historically. I'm surprised that some documentaries are still able to view, considering that they happen to show symbols that are forbidden in them. I mean, that's probably the next step. It's this ultimate censorship and ultimate protection from history. Like nothing you'll ever view again is going to be emotionally upsetting for you, right? It's a bizarre world, and it's one that I don't want to have anything to do with. Like people who can't even deal directly with history. I mean, it's sad, but it's where it is.
It doesn't even work. It doesn't even work because some leftists got a taste of their own medicine in Germany. A satire magazine, a very leftist satire magazine, was making fun of a tweet that an AfD politician, a female AfD politician, was sending, and they were making fun of it, and they got censored for retweeting or reusing that tweet on Facebook or something. So they, for making fun of it, they were censored because there was some offensive content. And of course, Facebook is under a lot of pressure to do that, because we have Germany the NetzDG, Netzwerkdurchsetzungsgesetz, which means to have something to impose post force on the internet, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah.
And this uses all platforms, affects all platforms that have more than 2 million users who try to communicate with each other. Those platforms have to decide for themselves if this might be offensive content and have to delete it, I think, in 24 hours. So basically, they are forcing them to have a giant team of people looking through comments and basically just deleting them and not thinking about them, because if they were trying to really check them judicially, that wouldn't be even feasible or possible. So this is how they're going now.
It's strange, you know, because I wonder how much pressure the various countries are going to be able to put on the Facebooks and the YouTubes to deal with this, because obviously it's going to be an immense cost, you know, for them to have these teams and moderators and, you know, people who report and check and whatever. And I think, you know, some people some outlets have been trying to go around it by having these algorithms and stuff, but that has ended up hurting the platform like YouTube, where other people who are basically not even kind of part of the controversy of the PC topics are hit as hard as well. So people are turning away from it. I mean, I think it's brilliant. I think, in fact, what we should do is to adapt. We should transform language. We should adapt to the situation to basically force the platform to go even deeper because and widen its net, so to speak. Because when it does, it's gonna hit so many other people that have nothing to do with, and it's gonna piss them off. And that's what we want, you know, because people have to realize that censorship is something, you know, it might not affect you at this particular moment, but any point down the road, it could show up, you know?
Yeah, this is the funny thing, as you mentioned it. In my YouTube videos, I just told my editor to not use any any bad text anymore. So the texts are just happiness, freedom, and stuff like that. So Islam, we're not even putting Islam in the text anymore. Everything offensive. In the video, of course, I talk about it, and of course, the algorithm is using a transcript, but I have a feeling, at least, that I'm not getting hit as much anymore because the texts are so friendly. Family friendly, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Tell us about the video, Germany is German, right? That was also another video that was hit. And I think, was this, no, this is separate from you did with Reconquista Germanica. We'll get to that video. Mm-hmm. But the D27, right? It was a vision about a future. We're playing that on the side here. Tell us about this one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the video, part two of a video which I did, where I decided that people have to have a positive vision. They can't always talk about the gloomy bad stuff, but they have to have a positive vision. And this was the first video, which was Vision 27 for Germany, which was a positive, how we as patriotic people want to see it. And the new one was another one continuing that thought, where I created a Euro-Africa, where migrants who don't have a status are shipped, and where I created there's a moderate Islam, which says, okay, the Quran is not as literal to take, and we swear our whole allegiance to the country we're in and not the Quran, and stuff like that. And people, people seem to love it. And we had, like, in a couple of hours, we had 18,000 views, and so overwhelmingly a positive like. So we had likes, and then it was taken down, and I was looking at what's happening. Okay, I could see it in my background, and then I looked with a private browser, and then I saw, okay, this video is not to be seen in your country's domain. Okay, so any German audience couldn't see it. Okay, so I re-uploaded it because I didn't get a strike for it, and within 1 hour or so, it was taken down again, and there was a comment of some guy, oh yeah, no, we're taking down the video again, I think they're trying to taunt me or something like that. I uploaded it a third time, it was even like 10 minutes or so, it was taken down again, so I gave up at that moment, and all videos are still in my back-end YouTube Creator Studio visible for me, but every one of those is not visible for my subscribers on YouTube, at least.
Yeah, well, that's one of the bigger issues here now, and this is also one of the reasons, I think, why you wrote to me initially to get back in touch is because of the Alfred Schaefer interview, right? And what they do these days is to put them in the quarantine or, you know, limited, you know, in a coma state or whatever you want to call it, suspension. Or, you know, you can't see any comments, you can't see any related videos, you can't see the views, you can't see ups and downs, nothing. It's just isolated, and those who have a direct URL to the video can still see it. But it's this idea that there's like some topics, some issues are just too hot to handle, and they want nothing to do with it. At least they're leaving it up. But yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and they have at least three tools which I know right now. This is one is the quarantine state as you were talking about, or limited state. The other one is that they're just setting it invisible for the country's domain. Then there's a third one which I found in another video where a viewer told me, oh, where is your video? And I was looking through my back end, and of course there I can see it. There is no sign whatsoever that this is not visible to people anymore, so I would know, YouTube wouldn't tell me. And the third one is, as I was talking about, that there was a lawsuit or by court's order, your video is not visible anymore. This I also saw on these URLs which I was putting in. So these three ones are at least implemented. Maybe there are some more, but they're the YouTube sensor backend might be that they have some tools and do this date. So this is like a plethora of tools against us.
Yeah, definitely, exactly. Anything to avoid the issues. So how are you going to move forward with these new kind of new challenges in place, from lawsuits to censorship to strikes on your channel to, again, certain topics and certain videos being kind of isolated in this way? How do we proceed forward discussing the issues that we want to discuss, also reaching people, but at the same time not being reckless about it, right? This is one of the things. I know that there's a lot of people out there, they're so sick and fed up with it, you know, the PC, the censorship and everything that they, and I understand it, but it's in an anger and resentment of that, they go in overdrive and they almost, you know, overdo it to a certain extent. But ultimately, that will shoot us in the foot, I think, at least if you want to remain on these platforms, at least if you want to try to reach new people that are not already kind of into the topics. So
can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Something about that. Sorry, before we go into that
sure.
topic, but I have to tell you before. In Germany, for example, my lawyer told me because the other lawyer in my case was saying, okay, you have some comments which are really hate speech and stuff like that, and my lawyer told me that it might be the case that I have to moderate my comments to not be. To not have some, how do you say that? If I'm taking responsibility for the comments, so it might be the case that if the comments are getting too brutal, that we have to disable them to not
right.
be responsible for them in a court. So this is also, as you said, a problem which might arise from that.
Is that on YouTube, or is that all? Are you just talking about like your website now, or is it on YouTube?
No. You were telling me that this is also on YouTube.
So
it might be if the judge sees that I still commented, for example, and there might be a comment for example, the first hour I often comment back, and if the judge sees that, might get the impression that I saw all of the comments. And then I'm responsible for these comments because I might have had to delete them.
I see. Very interesting. You had another video, too, about the... it was an interview, I think, where you did with Reconquista Germanica. I've heard about the group. I haven't yet had time to listen to much of them. But tell us about this video. This was also a re-upload, I think. Was this correct that you managed to at least keep online for a while?
Yes, it was an interview with Nikolai Alexander. He's basically the founder of the channel Reconquista Germanica, and he created a movement, so to speak, where he started it on a Discord server, organizing people. It seems to these days that a lot of people are doing that, but he's doing it in a patriotic way and doing some flash mobs online and stuff like that, organizing. And he was getting a lot of media attention for it, and they were shutting down the server, were shutting down his channel, and of course deleting the video.
So have you talked with him after that point? What are they on YouTube?
He's on YouTube. I think his channel is still there, but it is a you can't see any videos there, so it's basically dead too. He's working on his new server, Discord server. And they're organizing. I think he's more going more into the strategic solution phase, but he's not doing any videos anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to pull it up here, see if it can load. I think, yeah, it seems to be online still, Reconquista Germanica. Yeah, it has a good bunch of subscribers too, 32,000, which is pretty
yes.
good. So, okay, well, that's still up. That's encouraging, I guess, for now.
Do you see any videos on this channel?
Yeah, they're still there.
Okay, in Germany you can't see any videos there.
I see. Okay, yeah. So this is still okay here, but it's not in Germany. See, this is the other thing that they do country specific. I think so. On the scale, where do we place Germany? Is that the worst place right now? I mean, it's like, you know, we talk about China and they have their great firewall and their blocking sites and stuff, but you know what? Germany doesn't seem too far behind, to be honest.
No. I think there was a Google transparency report, I think in 2016 or something like that, where Germany was the top-ranked censorship requests for Google. So no other country was ranking first. It was Germany ranking first. Might have to do with some music, because there's also a large music agency in Germany which is censoring access to music songs. But still, it's we're number one in that. Yes.
Horrible, absolutely horrible. So, so that's very, you know, disheartening that it's gone so far and that it's at such a point where we basically cannot, you know, share our ideas and our concerns. But ultimately, I mean, I always kind of return to that point that I think it's going to be, in the end, be proven to be more harmful to them at this point, because people are always interested in those who are, you know, suppressed, those whose opinion you're not allowed to listen to, those who are in a position where you know, I guess to a certain extent they do become kind of outsiders of the system. But there's a power in that. There's a power in being, you know, in opposition, kind of a, don't necessarily like the word, but a revolutionary kind of movement or something like that. Is that how you think things are going to play out in Germany, or are they going to be able to keep the lid on so tight that basically the people who communicate with each other online, the people who go to sources where they get the news that they want to read and get kind of a, I guess, a reinforcement of how they view the world, are they going to be able to sever those bonds between these people, making them feel, I don't know, isolated on their own kind of thing?
No, this is not possible, I think, anymore, because especially in Eastern Germany, where I come from, people are organizing also on the streets. For example, the Pegida movement, which started some years ago now, they're still going strong, they're still alive, despite having been beaten with a lot of stick the media had in Germany. They're still alive. Other movements, which consist of a couple of thousand people, are going strong in Germany and starting to wake people up. And I think these are very, very positive signs. But as you said, the censorship is going so strong, and the regime at the moment, I just call it regime because this is what it is going to do what they can do as long as they can. I heard that one of the AfD politicians who went into the European Parliament now and is working there, he told his viewers that the European Parliament is planning to eradicate the states in the countries in Europe, and to have a European super state by 2025. So I think they're just throwing everything at what they have at the kitchen sink, so to speak, at the moment, censorship and everything to make that happen, even if it's crazy and even if it might end like Nero in Rome.
I think they have to, because, you know, with Brexit and new you know, propositions floating up again in Austria and other places, I think that they realize that they have very little time left, and they have to push as hard as they can. And ironically, I think that's also what's going to deliver the death blow, if you will. That the harder they push, the more obvious it's going to be of what they're trying to do, and it's going to come off as desperate. And I don't think people are going to like it. They're not going to buy that.
Yes, and imagine that there's something which might affect so greatly the situation, and if other countries follow, it might be even the single death blow. In Switzerland, there's something called Billag, which is the state tax, so to speak, for the state media. So you have to pay for the propaganda you're being fed.
Same in Sweden, by the way. We have that too. Do we have in Germany the license, like a TV license and stuff like that? Or tax on it?
Yes, we have that. Yeah. In Germany, it has a volume of 8 billion euros every year.
Yeah,
and
it's amazing.
In Switzerland, it has 1.5 or something like that, or 1.2.
Yeah.
And there in Switzerland, because they have a direct democracy in some areas, they have been able to get a vote on that, and it will happen, I think, this year, that they just cut this completely. And this might be 1.2 billion euros less for the propaganda machine. I don't know how they would do it. I think they might, as we were talking about throwing the kitchen sink, they might just invent a tax or use some other state money that they have to refinance.
Exactly. Yeah.
This thing, just to keep it alive.
They would garner it.
Alive.
Yep. They would garner it from somewhere else and just keep going it, because I think that's, I mean, that is the most important thing to them, to keep people, you know, under a state of a mentality, in a mindset, which, you know, because you see this with the media all the time. It's a very rigid kind of leftist view that comes through in the media. But then if you talk with most people, they don't have those views. They don't agree with it, but they made it seem like this is the prevailing view. This is how people think. This is what we're doing. And I think with those licenses and taxes and stuff and how much money they managed to get for their own state media, that's been a very powerful way. But if that goes out the window, that's awesome. That's great, you know?
Yes. And for example, I have some examples for you, just short ones. In the German propaganda, as I was talking about the video, an Islamization is happening. I was talking about before that, about the video. In this video, I talk about that there was a case where Kika, the channel for children, the public channel for children, where they were having a documentation where a young girl, I think yes. She was 15. Oh, you heard about it?
Yeah, definitely. I have it up on screen here now. Kika. Yes.
She was 15, and he was supposed to be 17 or stuff like that, and he looked like he's 25 or stuff. And when they got together, she was 14. So basically, they had a 24-year-old with a 14-year-old, and they were making it so like just a love story. But they were talking about he wants her to wear a veil, but she doesn't want that, and he doesn't want her to see other guys and stuff like that. But it's all so great, and it's also so lovely, and this is terrible. And there was another thing which they sent in 2006 already, but resurfaced the clip, was where it was a daily soap on the public television, where a woman converted to Islam and told her little brother that he is a Muslim because he's a child, and she was praying on screen and saying, "Oh no, Allah, accept me as a Muslim," and stuff like that. And it was not challenged in the video, and it's crazy what they said.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I pulled up the InfoWars source there, but yeah, I was playing a part of it there. They're playing it. I remember the video. I searched for it quickly, and this is the source I found. Yeah, but I mean, it's really. I know that's from a few years ago, and apparently it was in a soap opera. It would be interesting just to know, like, okay, was that character seen as like a nut job, or was that a good character? Do you see what I'm saying?
Like, there was the mother. I did some research, and the mother of her boyfriend was a Muslim, of course, too, and she praised that she did that, and she was not challenged for it.
Exactly. Yeah, here it is. This is a better source that people can look at. Yeah, but it's like it was a kind of a deeply, at least the way it was portrayed, again, as a TV show, but it's like, you know, it was like this psychological thing around it, that it's like, you know, a conversion was just a beautiful thing, and it's normal, and it looks like the kid is like kind of traumatized by it, actually, which is
kind of interesting. Yeah, that's true. Because I so sympathize with the kid, because he's the only one, like, realizing how crazy this is.
Jeez, it's amazing, you know. But I'm glad that
I think the child actor might have been told, "Oh, just look normal," and the kids just reacted naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's in one way it's good, because it shows people out there how obvious it is and how much they're pushing it. And I mean, this particular one went around the world. It seems like definitely around the West, you know, this particular example of how crazy things are now, and how in overdrive they are with Islamization of most of Europe, you know. So I think it's at the end of the day, of course, it's not good. But what I'm saying, we can use examples like this in our favor, you know, to show the propaganda machine and just how bad it is. And I remember, speaking of which, too, the Kika TV show that we talked about briefly, it was the same thing there. I have to say, I'll pull that up again. It was shot in a very, I don't know how to, in a very like dreamy kind of, it's a beautiful thing, but then at the same time, you know, it was clearly that it was how do I approach this? I think we can use the things that they push against themselves, because as we know, they're pushing these things with, you know, the gender equality and stuff like that, and don't tell women this, don't do this, and you know that they have to be free and all this stuff. But this TV show clearly showed that it was basically like, you know, they are there, you can use that argument against a show like that, because it shows that they, you know, they're trying to put down women and tell them what to wear and how they should, you know, you can't eat pork and, you know, all this ridiculous stuff that came up in the show. But yet it was perceived as being this wonderful love and relationship that they had. It's so hypocritical, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. But this brings up another point, which you were talking about before. What we can do, which strategy which we should take. And I think as you said before, we should use their arguments on the one hand, but also from a meta perspective, we have to be, as I said before, like entrepreneurs, I'd say, because we have to have our own platforms or websites where people can go and see us, because we can have the greatest videos, but if people are not allowed to see them, because YouTube can just say, oh, yeah, F off, and so people can see that. And we make great videos which would have shown people, hundreds of thousands of people would have pulled them in, so to speak. And YouTube just says, no, it's a limited state, nobody sees that, go home. So I think we have to also fight about to get power in the way that we have our own infrastructure where we can reach people. I think this is another part of the meta game. Not only the strategies which we have to use on the media playing field, but also on the economic and infrastructure playing field.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm showing a little bit from the documentary too. And I think it's interesting because the reaction also was that, well, it's the far right that are reacting to this, right? That was this kind of a second wave, if you will, that came as well, that, oh, the far right is unhappy with this kind of video. Yet if you, and we know this, but if you had a leftist, or rather, let's say white people or German people had been advocating for the same kind of conservative principles that this did in the video, that have been outraged from the left, right?
Yes, it's absolutely crazy. And just to have some example for this double standard or these double standards, this plethora of double standards. For example, we have a minister for integration, and she's a proud Muslim, and her brothers are Islamists. Yes, and she's working for the state, and she's a minister, and she is in favor of child marriages. She says, okay, you might traumatize those child brides because in their culture it's like so. So we have to allow that in Germany too. So, as you said, if some German argued for that, people would be a shitstorm immediately by leftists. But
exactly.
If it's about Muslims, of course, it's something different.
Yeah, sir, it's their beautiful ways. It's how they live their lives, right? We gotta accept that, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. It's so transparent of what they're doing and how they're pushing it, you know. But it's, again, they can't get away with it. I think what made this particular video resurface again was the age thing. I think it was discovered, right, that he had been lying about his age and equally her. So it was blown up again because I believe the original documentary or whatever TV show that was aired. I think back in November was it first, and then now later in January again, it resurfaced due to the age difference, I think.
Yes, people were looking at it, and it might be one of my colleagues who surfaced this first, but people got the hang of it, and it spread like wildfire. And of course, it's where the bad alt-right people and the Nazis, of course, who were spreading it. But aside from this media narrative, was just people looking at it, people who are starting to realize that they're lied to front and center by the media establishment, and waking up and delivering that shitstorm.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to take a break here in just a little bit, but tell us a little bit more if there's anything about specifically like about the any of these things we've talked about so far, you know, like the lawsuit or, you know, the videos. The lawsuit was settled. You said that's not going to go any further, so that's not hanging over you right now. Is that correct?
This is correct, but as I said before, I can't be sure. Not on YouTube, not in the judicial system. Not that. Might have to deal again with another lawsuit in the future, or my channel being shut down, or even my website being blocked. I saw that just today that a website is blocked by. Which is still online. I can use it via proxy. I can see it. This is a news website, but in Germany it is shown that this website is up for sale. They're using every trick in the book.
Is this your personal one, you said?
This is not my personal one. This is a news website.
Oh, okay.
News, uh, uh, I think they will be fixing it maybe in the next days, but I saw that before, that trick. It might have to do something with the DNS system where they declare this website by a court order as a hate speech website and reroute it or something like that, and they have to go to the court to reverse that. But their traffic is blocked for these days that this is on.
Yeah, it's really kind of weird. You know, there was the FCC debate in America regarding, you know, and I've heard arguments from both sides and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, ultimately, when there is whether you leave it up in the hands of the government or corporations, it's equally bad, frankly. I mean, it's like there has to be something in place where you. I guess it ends up in the hands of the government at that point if there is a law in place that says you can't censor. But obviously, I would be for such a law. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Like, you can't go after people and you can't shut down their sites and stuff. But there's different ways around it. There's the internet service providers that the government can put pressure on and say, you know, hey, you're letting this stuff kind of be funneled through your service, so you're responsible. Then there's the issues of the DNS or the domain names. That has been a big issue, from the Daily Stormer and to other sites as well. I think that might mm-hmm. spread, to be honest, and they might go after the domain names next. And then there's the deplatforming. So there's attacks on multiple fronts. How is that discussion in Germany right now? I mean, is there anything? Is there any discussion about who's to take the responsibility if there's something online that they don't like or something like that?
The problem is in Germany we have the government, of course, and they have, of course, their neutral partners. For example, the Amadeo Antonio Stiftung, which is a foundation run by a so-called human rights activist. This is what is now left on Wikipedia. Before, there was written that she was working for the Stasi in the DDR, in the GDR. So she's basically a Stasi spying on the German people in the GDR before. But this is not anymore in her bio on Wikipedia. Now she's just a human rights activist, and she's a partner of the government, and she's deciding, for example, she's helping decide in her organization. And apart from that, is a little bit the thing that, as you told before or said before, the people in our bubble are going to find us in Germany. But it's really difficult because they're trying to keep the rest of the herd separated from us at any cost. So they don't see the bad videos and they get the wrong ideas from us or something like that. So this might be an uphill battle, which we might have to fight in real life, for example, like using flyers and real life magazines or something like that. People are already working on that.
Yeah, they have to. That's absolutely right. So obviously you have the YouTube channel still. That's a good place for people to find your content. But let's assume that that's taken down. Where do people find you? You have your personal website. Tell us where people can go to find that.
My personal website is hagengrell.de, hagengrell.de, and which is reconfiguring at the moment, so my videos will be up there and saved on different platforms and always be visible there. And I think this might be a good strategy for others to do that too, so we have multiple sources for one video on your own website, so people can always find your videos, my videos on my website. They're saved there. And newsletter, of course, this is what I also suggest other people do and do more to have people just be connected to them directly. Because we worked for our subscribers, and our subscribers are subscribed because of our content, not because of some platform like YouTube. And so it's pretty unfair. Okay, who am I telling that? But it's pretty unfair if YouTube is taking our audience from us away. We worked for it, not YouTube. And so we have to save our own audience.
Yes, absolutely. So that's good. We have a couple of sources where people can go, and we're very much in the same situation. We're going to try. The only difficulty is that it takes a long time to upload like larger and longer videos. So eventually you're stuck. Like, you know, if you have, I don't know, three or four platforms, it obviously going to take three or four times that. BitChute is good, I think, because they auto pull, I think, from YouTube. So that's a good proposal that you said. But some of the others do not. DTube does not. And so that will be a big issue also. You know, you're stuck basically uploading everything all the time. We have to have a person that can help you just handling the uploads because it takes too long.
And I can tell we're working on that too, that we have a server where the people who are uploading on our platform are, where these videos are auto-contributed to the other platforms so people don't have to care about that, because I know that problem for myself, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, that's good. There's a couple of more things, obviously, I want to discuss with you after the break. You know, not only the recent violence that we've seen in Germany between rivaling factions, if you will, non-German rivaling factions, the election. We got to talk about the election, what happened there, and the outcome, and if Merkel is kind of on her way out. There's many more things that's been going on. I saw one interesting website I also want to talk about called rumorsaboutgermany.info, which was kind of interesting. I don't know if it was government or someone else, but it actually is a website that's kind of deterring people from having, I guess, these wild, grandiose visions about what life is like in Germany and offer a little bit more of the reality for all those that are seeking to flee their countries to go and get handouts in Germany. So that's one I want to ask you about too. Thank you, Hagen, for the first segment. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the second right after a short break at redicemembers.com. Thanks so much for watching or for listening. Thank you for supporting independent alternative media. If you'd like to catch the second part of the show, please go to redicemembers.com and get a membership. You get full access to our archives, exclusive videos, TV shows, reviews, and, of course, all the interviews in both parts. An excellent second part is coming up. We go through a lot more about the political situation and the current events in Germany. We talk about the election, anti-refugee propaganda actually released by the government to deter migrants from leaving Germany. We also talk about the mainstream media and how they are attacking people that are speaking out against globalization. So important stuff. Do make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and also check out our DTube channel where you can support us with the cryptocurrency Steam. It's a new platform, a competitor to YouTube. We've just started uploading a few of our videos there. We'll have more links in the description below in our YouTube, under the YouTube video, and also on the website shortly, redice.tv. All right, so good second part coming up, redicemembers.com. Go sign up. We'll see you there. Thank you so much.